Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our study of St. Matthew with Judging Others, Ask, and It Will Be Given, The Golden Rule in the Narrow Gate, False Prophets, and Hearing and Doing. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute, verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
I hold this letter here in my hand, a plea, a petition, a kind of prayer. I hope it does as I...
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We've come to this Thursday afternoon, September the 10th, and we've got email that's piling up. And as it does, we'd like to be able to respond as often as we can to our listeners' questions, to their comments, show suggestions, and their criticisms as well. The email address... Anytime you want to use it for any of those purposes, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. We're going to respond to some of our listeners' email.
Well, first of all, we're making progress on reinstating the Issues Etc. listener comment line. It does exist, and you can leave a recording, open theme, contributions, questions, comments, show suggestions at 618-223-8382. So please do so. However, we're having problems accessing it from our new studio board. They are there. I can listen on my cell phone to them remotely, but we don't want to just put it up to a microphone, to a phone. Our standards are a little higher than that, but please call it.
I'm really confused because the AT&T guy was in here yesterday, I believe, and then for some reason these lines, it's like crossed lines or something. We can't access the new line. So we will get it worked out.
Yeah, we always have we have Spectrum, formerly Charter. They're our primary provider, right?
We back up everything.
We back up everything. And we have AT&T. So we have regular old phone lines if we need it, a secondary internet if we need it through AT&T. But as we mentioned last time, I believe, on listener email, these new fiber phone lines don't have voicemail from Spectrum. So we had to have AT&T.
Which we needed anyway for the backup. So
right. But we had to change it to the comment line number. So please call that 618-223-8382. I'm sure we'll be able to get to it, your messages shortly.
When we access it, all those messages will be waiting for us.
A big, big day here at LPR. We had the generous donor who provided the $200,000 match for our new studios and offices. He visited this morning, and it was a great visit. And then more dignitaries kept coming in. Pastor Ben Ball, the 6th Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and then the Chairman of the Board of Directors, the voice of Issues, etc. You hear him voicing a lot of the liners and things like that for us. Pastor Michael Kumm was in here today.
They all kind of just came. Well, they didn't come all at the same time, but they all came for different reasons. And it was nice to see Pastor Kumm again. He and I served together for, I can't remember. It's got to be maybe close to 10 years in the parish where I serve. And I still think about him every day. And then I get to see him for about 15 minutes, and that's enough.
So I did notice that we knew these dignitaries were coming here. Craig wore something. He just changed into a t-shirt, but Craig wore kind of a nice shirt. Yeah. I'm dressed up, but you, not so much, Todd.
No, actually, I'm wearing the same shirt I was wearing yesterday. Oh. This is still the same shirt.
Not surprised. Well, I'm surprised because we did know dignitaries were coming, but I'm not surprised you wore the second shirt 2 days in a row. Well, or the same shirt 2 days in a row.
Working with men, we don't notice what anybody wears. I'm sure Deaconess takes care of it.
Oh, Craig does. Craig is the most conscientious male. Did you see the mop on that guy's head? Did you see that guy's nose? He goes, oh, you got Cruda shirt on today. I got to look down. I was like, I don't even know what I have on today. So yes, in most cases, you're correct.
But it turned out to work in our favor because when our generous donor came by, he said, what are you doing wearing the U.S. Marine Corps shirt? It says UMC across my chest 2 days in a row. And I was able to talk to him about my son-in-law having served for 4 years in the U.S. Marines. And it turns out he was a Marine as well. So it all came out in the laundry.
It became a conversation talking point. Correct. Right. And you knew that was going to happen.
I had no idea. I had no idea it was going to happen. I just realized when I got in the car this morning after we had the grandkids at the house today. So I'm always like rushing out the door. My wife made muffins with the grandkids. And then after you make muffins with 3 and 4 year old boys, you got to take a bath because they're covered in muffin mix from head to toe. So I'd just given the guys a bath, ran out of the house, realized I'm still wearing yesterday's shirt. Big deal.
I didn't notice. Craig probably did. Me, not so much. Email, shall we?
Yes.
Lindsay writes, pretty sure Terry Mattingly is trolling the listeners now. How does gushing over the glamorous and brilliant, these are in quotes, glamorous and brilliant Michelle Obama relate to media coverage of the tragic death of Chadwick Boseman? Hint, it doesn't. Terry must have taken good notes in that advertising course. The man knows how to fire up the listeners, albeit with irrelevant political jabs and distractions. Thanks for listening and thanks for the feedback, Lindsay.
I remember the quote from Terry, but I don't remember the context of the quote exactly, so I'm not going to speak to the overall context of the quote. But look, Michelle Obama, at least by my estimation, is a beautiful and glamorous woman. She kind of became a fashion icon during her time in the White House, which a lot of first ladies do. And I think she kind of fell into that role. So to call her glamorous, I think is an accurate description. I mean, lots of people are glamorous. Maybe it's in the eye of the beholder. George Clooney is glamorous. He walks out there and it's all glamour. Even if he's wearing a T-shirt for 2 days in a row, it's still glamour. Okay. Or I could have picked a female example, but I think it's very fair to say that Michelle Obama, especially during her 8 years there in the White House with her husband, was and remains a glamorous woman. What was the other word?
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Okay. I don't know her IQ, but I think whether he's talking about brilliance in terms of the glamour or brilliance in terms of her IQ, she's a very smart woman. She's very well educated. So look, is she wrong on a lot of issues that I care very deeply about as a Christian? Absolutely. Her husband, during his time in the White House, modeled fatherhood. He showed what it meant to be a faithful husband and father. I don't know what was happening behind the scenes, but I can't speculate on that. Just because you disagree with someone politically or theologically doesn't mean you can't say nice things about them. And I don't think Terry's trolling the listeners. I think Terry does believe that Michelle Obama is glamorous and brilliant. He's not trying to get you worked up. I think, to defend Terry here, I think he has nothing but respect for our listeners. He actually considers it, believe it or not, a pretty big badge of honor to be a regular guest on this program, and that's partly due to his respect for our listeners. So he's not trolling you.
When he spoke to our conference, do you remember the first words out of his mouth?
No.
I'm a never Trumper and a never Hillary. He just put those right out of the way, right there out front. And now he's a never Biden and a never Trumper. So, you know, he's not on the Trump train, so to speak, but neither is he on Joe Biden's bandwagon.
He was never a supporter of Barack Obama's policies either. But it just because you, let's remember during a presidential season, because you believe someone else is both theologically or politically wrong, doesn't mean you can't say good things about them. There are some good things to be said, and Christians ought to be, putting the best construction on everything, in the habit of saying as many good things as they can about everyone, including those that they consider their political foes.
Paul writes, simple question. I love this email. It might be the best email of 2020.
I know why you like it.
Absolutely. Here it is. Is Amish baptism solely in the name of Jesus valid? Great question, Paul.
It's a very good question, but I know why Jeff likes it. It's short and easy to read. That's why he likes it. Well, that's a good question. The Amish teach the doctrine of the Trinity as Scripture teaches it. Now, I'm not speaking to the rest of their theology. Both the Amish and the Mennonites, they have kind of a common root in Anabaptism from the time of the Reformation. They do not reject the Trinity. I do not know that they baptize in the name of Jesus only, but I'll take your word for it. And in this case, I would highly recommend a conversation that we had with Dr. Corey Moss a couple weeks ago, where he explained that the formula of baptism, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, while it ought to be retained and ought to be used, is not the only formula for baptism that the Christian church has used. And he cited the early church, where I think they simply said, so-and-so is baptized, so-and-so is baptized. But they were being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. So the formula for baptism, while I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, is optimal because it is a direct quote from Jesus in Matthew 28. It is not the only formula that has been used or considered a valid formula for baptism. That's different. I'm talking about the words. That's different from what is taught. There are churches where they baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, but they teach that, say, the Father could also be a mother and the Son could also be a daughter. They teach contrary to Scripture on the doctrine of the Trinity, and they invalidate their baptisms. Or there's oneness Pentecostalism that baptizes in the name of Jesus only because they're modalists, because they deny the doctrine of the Trinity and teach that there is only one person in the one God who only pretends to be Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. And so they baptize only in the name of Jesus. That is an invalid baptism. In the case of the Amish, where they teach the Trinity rightly, but I'll take your word for it, baptize in the name of Jesus only, as long as they are not denying the persons of the Father and the Son, I think that is a valid Christian baptism without respect to the other errors that they may entertain.
Paul's email, 10 words. Only one word with three syllables. The rest of them, one or two syllables.
Listeners, you should strive to please Jeff Schwarz when we go through listener email. He loves it when people are brief, when their words are easy to pronounce. We're going through listener email, and that email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. More of your thoughts, comments, criticism, show suggestions after the break.
Would love the way that you do. I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. classicalspecialneeds.com.
Well, this little phrase should keep Jeff Schwarz happy. It's simple and it's short. It comes from the Issues Etc. book of the month for September, speaking boldly. Here it is. We should never underestimate the power of God's word has to change lives. And that's what this book is really all about. It's about the power of God's word. And when you speak God's word, you are speaking his word and not your own. The book is called Speaking Boldly, Sharing God's Word Every Day. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September. It's at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask for it. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040.
Just got an email from regular guest Pastor David Peterson. He's going to be on Monday on the show. Looking forward to the Feast and Festival of Matthew, the Apostle and Evangelist. That's good news.
We're filling in some gaps in the in our series that we have completed, and yet there's still a few holes there. Filling in that, looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, and then a similar series in the three-year lectionary with Dr. Carl Fikencher.
I think most of the feasts and festivals are pretty, there's a couple of different dates, but the three-year and the one-year lectionary on the feasts and festivals are pretty much in the same days.
I wouldn't know.
You were in the parish. How many years? Hey, what I'm going to show you this email. What stands out to you, this email?
Well, your name is rather large.
It's amazing. Look at this, Craig. It's got Dear Mr. Schwarz. It looks like font size 24, bolded. And then the rest of it looks like it's about font size 10.
Yeah, folks, if you could find a way to send all of your email to talkback@issuesetc.org in large font sizes, Jeff would really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate Dave. It certainly caught my attention. Dear Mr. Schwarz in font size 24 and bolded. So, Dave, here you go. Dave resides in North Carolina. When you talk baseball with Pastor Wilken, I feel like a kid at the Thanksgiving table waiting patiently for a subject that I know something about so that I can chime in. I don't mind not being part of every conversation. It's part of having a seat at the family table. So please, just once, can we have a three-way segment with Pastor Whedon? I need a fellow non-sports relative to take some shots back at you, too, while us listeners watch wide-eyed and try to hide our smirks and snickers. The three of you exchanging barbs about sports ball versus music and fitness would be comedic radio gold. Thanks for the suggestion, programming suggestion, Dave in North Carolina.
Well, we could try that as an experiment. I don't know how it would work. Pastor Whedon is a great lover of music, but I don't think his knowledge of music extends into the 20th century. Unless it's 20th century hymnody, I'm pretty sure he's probably not listened to any popular music. I'm talking about pop music in the last 35 years.
Well, I think he's talking about hymnody.
Yeah, hymnody. We're not going to raise the subject of fitness with Pastor Whedon. That's landmine territory, and we'd all end up injured, except for Pastor Whedon, who can run faster than the rest of us.
With shoes that have what? What is it, like a toe for every?
Yeah, like toes. Some of his shoes have toes.
Yes.
So that's all you need to know there.
A running style unlike anything you've seen before, I might add.
So we love Pastor Whedon. He's a fantastic teacher. He is the most well-read theologian that I've ever met. Now, that may not be saying much, but I've met a lot of theologians. So he's the most well-read, especially in terms of the church's history and its liturgy and the church fathers. And he has an encyclopedic knowledge of Scripture. There's no doubt about it. But there's some subjects, if you were sitting down at a dinner table with him, which in his case would consist of only meat, that we probably just don't want to get into.
I do think when the Cardinals were last, well, I think maybe even last season, I saw some social media posts. He was actually watching some Cardinals baseball in the postseason.
Yeah, I think he may have a passing interest in it. You know, I don't know.
He's like you and me with hockey. You know, the Blues, you know, the postseason. Otherwise, Craig's like, hey, you going to watch the Blues game tonight? He keeps asking that question to both of us. The answer is almost always absolutely not, unless you're in the Stanley Cup Finals. But Craig, by
even
golly,
then with me, no.
He's resilient, isn't he? He just keeps coming back. Hey, Blues game tonight. You guys going to watch it?
Or did you see that Blues game last night?
Yeah, did you see the Blues game last night? But you got to remember, Craig usually asks a question because he wants to talk about something. That's what usually happens. It's like a segue into this. And so it's like, why don't you skip the question? Just tell us what you want to tell us about the game last night.
You can almost count on the fact that I watched the Cardinals game last night, except when they're doing doubleheaders like today. And they've already, I think they came out of that game 12-2.
No, you texted me last night, remember? Did you text me last night? I was, you texted me. I get this text message.
I spent 25 minutes, and I'm not joking, the better part of a half hour scrolling through the cable channels looking for the second game of a doubleheader that wasn't going to be played until today. I thought it was Thursday night.
So he texts me, he says, hey, do you know what channel spectrum the Cardinal doubleheader games? I said, Todd, they don't play today. Oh, that's right. I thought it was Thursday. That's what he said.
Because I kept looking at my app and it said that they'd play to get, there was a game and then they put GR, you know, for the, whatever that means, for the second game of the doubleheader. And I was just talking to Maria, telling her, I'm going to find the game. Jeff found it once. He went all through the channels. He found that second game.
I had to go through like three times, by the way.
And then I just found out they weren't playing. So,
okay, I understand. That's not the point that you didn't know the Cardinals didn't have a game. The thing is, we came off a Labor Day weekend. We were off on Monday. I could see how you think it's Friday.
Right.
But how did you think it was Thursday on Wednesday?
I don't know. And I spend all day long entering, like for the website, entering the proper date. And I say on the air, it's Wednesday. I don't know why. It's because these things don't stick. Or maybe I just wanted them to be playing so bad.
All right, Carrie in Lowman, Missouri. I believe that's by my alma mater, somewhere by Columbia, Missouri, University of Missouri, Columbia. Carrie writes, she's got a suggestion. The encore in looking forward to Sunday morning, our dilemma, our on again, off again dilemma. Carrie says, hello, currently listening to episode 2453 regarding the lectionary encores. Why not have a different label for them, like Evergreen Encore? Something that indicates it's not the first time it has aired, but isn't outdated. Thanks for the suggestion, Carrie in Lowman, Missouri.
Well, that's a very good suggestion. And maybe that says what we need it to say, which is if your church uses one of those two lectionaries, the 3-year or the 1-year, this is going to be useful to you because it's in its proper place. You can get ready for this coming Sunday morning by listening to this show that may have aired in the case of Dr. Fickenscher, 6 or 7 years ago. It is still going to be current and get you ready for Sunday morning. Great suggestion. I highly appreciate it.
Becky writes, thank you to Pastor Golden for a comment he made when he was talking about one of the Old Testament people. In essence, he said that we continue to sin and continue to struggle with the same sin over and over again. I struggle with this because I have prayed about not sinning in this way countless times, but I still do it. I know I am forgiven and rest in that assurance through Jesus' suffering and death on the cross, and am thankful to the Lord for that. But I guess I just needed to be reassured that I am not the only person who has this perennial problem. Thank you so much for your broadcast. I listen to everyone eventually. Thank you for listening. Becky, we love our on-demand listeners.
You know, Becky, this is hard because I think it's something a Christian discovers. If you find yourself being that kind of Christian where you say, you look at some other Christian, you say, why can't I be like them? No, don't compare yourself to other Christians. The true comparison is to God's Ten Commandments, which will, in every case, leave you far short. But there's something good about a Christian who doesn't walk around saying, well, I'm better than half the people I know, or I'm more virtuous than half the people I know, or struggle with sin less than everybody I know. Look at all those poor suckers struggling with sin. I think I'd much rather find a Christian in the position you're in who says, I struggle with sin and nobody else seems to be struggling the same way. I can guarantee you they are. I've learned something in my long career as a pastor, and that is everybody's just as rotten a sinner as everybody else. You just may not be able to see it. That other Christians struggle with sin. They are tempted the same way you are. But there's something good about looking at them and seeing in them. Jesus said we would see the good works. Yes, even Christians will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. There's something good about looking at another Christian and saying, wow, look at that Christian who is doing a good thing, who's following God's law. There's something good about that because you're not estimating yourself more highly than you should. That's one of the apostles. And we should consider others better than ourselves. That's another thing that the apostle says. So I think finding yourself in that position is actually a Christian virtue and something that I wouldn't let it depress you, but just drive you to repentance and to pray God that he would produce in you by the Holy Spirit through that gospel, the same virtues that you see so clearly in other people.
One final email. Nora writes, thank you so much for the episode that you did this Monday on mourning the death of a loved one and grieving. The day after this aired, my husband and I found out from his family that his youngest brother died in a tragic motorcycle accident. This episode was helpful, as we are still in shock over what happened and has helped us as we grieve his death. We look forward to when we can see one another again in the life to come. Christ's blessings, and thank you for all your work, and thank you for listening, Nora.
Thank you very much. It is, I don't think God's timing is ever wrong. And I often think about that when we're doing a show like that. We did a show just today with Pastor Ben Ball, and we were talking about a similar subject and the fear of death. And I often think about that when we're having those conversations. There is someone out there listening right now who needs to hear this. That's why we keep doing what we do here on Issues Etc. Tomorrow, Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll have four sound bites for you. We'll play them, and your votes will decide which will be Soundbite of the Week. You can vote in advance, facebook.com/issuesetc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Bahama Mama, Ocean Pacific, Paradise Island. Retreat from the heat with a shaved ice snow cone from Tropical Snow in Caseyville, Illinois. It's right across the street from Collinsville High School. Tropical Snow is open weekdays from 1 to 9 and weekends from noon to 9. Premium snow, epic flavors, lots of love. Tropical Snow, across the street from Collinsville High School at 2134 South Morrison Avenue in Caseyville.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.